No. Our first trip, part of our itinerary was a couple days in Greece. As we were waiting to be checked into the hotel, the room was not quite ready, and they asked us to wait, and then the public address system, they announced that, "Mr. and Mrs. Feinberg, your room is ready." The young man walked up and tapped me on the shoulder and he says, "You don't know me, Mr. Feinberg, but I am Eliezer Rosenthal, the son of Marcus Rosenthal. And my dad has been the Hebrew teacher of Tree of Life all these years. By the way, he wound up as the Hebrew teacher after 40-some years and prepared some of the most beautiful bar mitzvahs in this community, really. Unfortunately, the last couple of years he lost his memory. But we said that although he had already been to the Acropolis, I guess the Lord must have said them go with the Feinbergs, he visited with us for another day. We had no ulterior motive. My wife always likes to, match people up, and she said to them, when you get back home, after your army hitch, she was on an army hitch, she said, "I'd like to have you come and visit with us and meet a couple of our cousins." We took some pictures, and the night he came to our house was the day the athlete Herman Feinberg at the Y broke his wrist and had to run home after with his arm in a temporary cast by Dr. Rosenberg, Sydney. And that night we had one of our first Israel Bond meetings at our home in our little game room.
In 54.
Yeah.
One of the first.
First Israel Bond meetings in our home that evening, at which we were going to show some of our
pictures.
Film pictures of our trip to Israel. And I came home with this temporary cast, and Elliot came over that night to see the pictures of the trip, and everybody wanted to take me back to the hospital because I'd arranged for Dr. Rosenberg to come back and put in the permanent cast because I'd leave the next morning for a B'nai B'rith meeting. So Ellie was there, and Ellie says, "Can I drive to the hospital?" I says, "No, don't drive to the hospital. Help Joy." I really had no motive. And that's where their love at first started.
And that's where they met.
Yeah, okay. That's where they got married. All right, that's where they met. Okay, well, now we're through with the children?
Yeah.
Now what do you want to get back to?
And they have three children, too.
Yeah, they have four.
Two boys
and two girls. Do you want their names?
No.
Okay.
I have Deborah, Linda, and Philip, and I remember C, so that'll be fun.
Okay. No, you have Deborah, Linda, and Cecil. These have the four. Their four children are Cecil.
Yeah, right.
Cecil, Diane, David, and Michelle.
Okay.
Now what do you want?
Well, a little bit about UJF and your beginning. You were chairman, but
prior
let's
to
go
that,
back
let's see, if I was chairman
beginning.
In 49, then I had to be chairman. Hold this off. But in 47, after we lost our son, the United Jewish Fund had called a meeting for money for overseas. The meeting was at the William Penn Hotel and was chaired by Oliver M. Kaufman. I attended that meeting and just had gotten up from Shiva. And it was the first time I heard in this community a pitch for giving on a weekly basis to make your pledge for maximum so you can afford to pay it weekly. And I made what I thought was a substantial pledge, this I had only for a matter of campaigning, for a total sum of $750. And all the way back to the office on the streetcar, not by car, because I couldn't afford a car, I was wondering how I was going to tell my dad-in-law that I had pledged a total sum of $750 and paid it off, thank goodness.
1937.
So therefore, somewhere between there and 49, I'd served in many capacities on the United Jewish Fund. I remember quite well as being the trades and industry chairman under Leon and Kitty Falk.
What year was that, Herman?
That would have to be somewhere, I don't know, you figure that out for me. I can't.
Trade and industry chairman.
Because in 49, I always was the chairman. I've been asked
right.
to be chairman several times.
So the middle 40s.
Yeah. The community then, had the United Jewish Fund, which was a campaign arm, and the United Jewish Federation, which was the federation agencies, which took care of the Hebrew Free Loan, the Montefiore Hospital, the YKC for allocations, and overseas, and local and national, Hebrew Institute, and local and national agencies. And internet.
Right.
Then there was the merge of the United Jewish Fund and the United Jewish Federation into one agency called the United Jewish Federation.
After your chairmanship.
Well, the line was
no,
to,
it was in
to,
the 40s.
In the 40s. Had to be there.
Okay.
The executive director then was Dr. Maurice Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you became interested in the Y also.
Yes, in the early days of the Y, I became very much interested in the Y to the point that I served as membership chairman 1 year. I never became a member of the official family, although off the record I was asked to several times, but being busy building a business and active in many other community agencies, thought it best not to get involved. And this was just going back, must be in the late 30s or early 40s, what happened.
And how about your exposure, Herman, in the Christian community?
I'll just hold that a moment. Let me think back
Okay. Where
it started from.
So now you...
Back in about 1939, I received a phone call one day from Eddie Scheinberg, knowing as busy as I was, as he thought I was, I should say, whether or not I could join the Jewish Home Board. It was then called just the Jewish Home for Agent Board. And I explained to Eddie that I was quite busy, but I would really be interested in doing some work at the home. And since our meetings and activity mostly took place on Sunday, I'd be able to spend more time at the home. I'd be very happy and feel the privilege to serve. When I got on the home board, Morris Nieman was then the president and served the home for well over 20 years. And a couple of very interesting incidents that I think are a little bit of interest. Is that I remember after I'd been on the board the first year, Leonard Greenberg was then the recording secretary and served as recording secretary for at least a quarter of a century. He was going into the service, and they wanted someone to serve as secretary, and I said, I've had a little experience, and I'd be very happy to serve as secretary. So I served as recording secretary until Leonard returned from the service. I remember one day that there was a special incident took place that I thought was of such interest that the community ought to know about it. And in an open meeting, I said, you know, this ought to be publicized. And Morris Nieman turned to me and said, Herman Feinberg, I want you to know one thing. A home for agent has never been and never will be a mutual admiration society. And that was the end of the publicity back in those days, because we never did much publicity. I also remember a case of admissions that I've told many times to people because they say, you know, I'm getting so old, I'm losing my memory. In the early days, as still to now, the admissions are done by a lay committee. And back in those days, it was done by a lay committee only without any professional. I have all the utmost respect for all professionals. We were sitting in a small room which now houses a rabbi's study, and we were interviewing an applicant for the home who was there with his two children. And the three members of the committee, I happen to be one of them, says to us, you know, it's to the point now where Dad is living on the third floor. He's getting to the point where he's talking to himself. And one of the members of the committee pipes up, well, he's talking to a smart man.
Oh, how good. How many beds do they have then?
Back in those days, I would say we had a neighborhood of 200. I'm checking from memory.
In the original old building?
In the original building when I got there, it was about 200 beds.
Okay.
I would have to get the year for you, and I'd be glad to give it to you before you write up your final report. Some years later, we recognized the need for two additional floors on the original building, so we built the fourth and fifth floors.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Mars was inactive in the community, and others.
The 50s.
Yeah, back. We'll have to be in the 50s. But I can get the exact for you. Before we leave, I can call and get it for you.
Okay.
And I had the privilege then of conducting the campaign for the funds we needed for the fourth and fifth floor.
And when did you become president of the home?
The home president. Oh, hold that a minute.
President.
I was elected president of the home from 1952, and having recognized the precedent set by many of my predecessors, I told the board then that I appreciate the election, but I would not serve for more than several years because I think it's about time we give the opportunity to some other people in the community to come and serve as president. So I served until 1954. And that chain has been recognized ever since.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been any president served more than 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Okay. We will have to get the date on the structure for the fourth and fifth floor. And then some years later, the home's demands became greater and greater from the community. We then conducted a campaign for the additional building, which is now in the rear of the original structure. And I had the privilege of conducting that campaign, too. And I remember quite well that... one person who was very active in the campaign was Julius Halperin, who, together with a couple of us, took the time to visit other institutions similar to the home to see what they had done in the way of modern facilities so we could incorporate them into the operation.
And Herman, when did you change the name when the needs became greater?
When we recognized the fact that the type of applicants we were getting were those who were in need of medical care and longer-term care, not just a normal life. We then recognized the fact we better change the name to the Jewish Home and Hospital for Aging.
Was that in the 50s?
I would check, or rather check with the home and get it for you. Then it'll be accurate on that if you want. Okay. You want to hold that a moment? On a pure hospital, when I first remember the hospital was on the Center Avenue at Heron Avenue. And I would not know how many beds, but I didn't think it had much more than 50 or 60 beds total. And I remember when they built the new structure on Fifth Avenue. And I remember quite well the years of Leo Lehman as president. Mrs. Edgar Kaufman. And Stanley Kahn. And then our recent years with Bernard Halperin, Lester Hamburg,
and now Milton
Porter. And I've served on the board several times during those years.
Okay. Herman, I know you had a very active part in the Zionist organization. You want to tell us about that?
My first exposure to Zionism was when we lived in the Hill District, and when Zionism was not too popular, long before the creation of the state. A group of elders used to meet in one of the small meeting rooms up on Center Avenue when they were trying to get people interested in the work of the Zionism. Then I remember quite well that there were others who were taking an interest, realizing the state may come into being someday and we would have to have a homeland for our Jewish people. I remember then the Zionist organization was able to have an office down in the Keystone Building on 4th Avenue. I.A. Simon was the executive director, and then Miss Kulik was the office girl. We conducted membership campaigns every year. We tried to raise some extra monies by dinners, limited numbers, because we couldn't attract the crowd we wanted to attract. And even during all that period, I remember how insistent they were upon the fact that the dinners we served had to be, a dinner with kashrus had to be observed. We did not have the hotels that could give us that, but we were able to get the hotels in their usual manner to come up with new dishes and things, which are always had because of breakage, and we were able to have a kosher affair.
What was your early membership? How many men?
If I remember correctly, probably a handful. Then I remember the first the largest membership campaign was conducted by A.H. Neiman. And he had the knack for really conducting campaigns in this area quite well, and he conducted one of the first largest campaigns that I remember.
And what capacities did you serve on there?
I served as secretary, I served as a member of the board, and I'm still a member of the board of all the years. I never took the presidency, and I admired those who were able to make the time and serve as president.
You had other things to do.
Now, because of the Zionist organization, I think it's well for you to know, and tonight that happens to bring it up, about 15 years ago, Sam Baskin, who was a past president of the Zionist organization, passed away. And while we were conducting prayer services at his home on Lyndhurst Drive, one morning a couple of us got together and thought it was about time we do something in memory of Sam Baskin. We created the Sam A. Baskin Memorial Scholarship Fund, to which each of us made our contribution, and we solicited contributions to the point where we got a fund together. I believe the total sum we raised was around $15,000. And we thought the best we could do then would do something about encouraging young people to go to the State of Israel. So we got the word out as best we could that we have such a fund available and who might be interested. And I remember the first year we almost had to beg, borrow, and steal to get the first person to go there, in which we subsidized it for a sum total of $500.
As a student or a visitor?
As a visitor. Okay. A seven-week visit, whatever it might have been. Now, each year since then...
What year are we talking about? We're talking about the 60s, I remember.
Did I ask you, David? Two. Always more than that.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Oh, hell, if I'm known, it's about to put the hell on it, did you?
Put it on.
All right, 1962, we created that fund, and since then, through the Zionist organization, up until last year, we had a scholarship committee, and the scholarship committee would meet to interview the applicants. after they had been screened through Hy Kimmel, who was the executive of Zionist organization. Mm-hmm. And there were some years we had as many as 40 applicants. And during these years, we have been able, from this fund, to expend anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 a year for this program.
Subsidized by the Zionist group.
By the Zionist organization, from our annual American Zionist Fund dinner. Mm-hmm. I mention this because we recognize the fact that we were getting greater and greater requests, and since we had limited funds, and since there were other agencies in the community, the YIKC had some monies that they were spending for this area, and the Federation was giving some money for some special projects. We elected about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, to put this into one scholarship fund now. It's administered by representatives from the three groups, but in a central fund, which is really handled through the Y.
Still called the Sam Baskin
Fund. We changed it. We still have in that fund now a Sam Baskin, a Hyman Fund, the Gold Stock is in there, so we have
Sam
it all together,
Goldstock.
Plus what Federation puts in. Okay.
And the organization has grown to how many now?
I would say over 4,000.
I'm still interested, Herman, to now know about your affiliation a little bit in the Christian world. I know you're
I'm going to start back. I'm going to see where. Let me just check memory. You know, it's one thing. Because of the people I'm going to mention, the first exposure to American Jewish Congress was a little bit of a group that got together in this community. And the chairman was Judge Benjamin Lynch.
Hmm.
And the recording secretary was Herman Feinberg.
Oh my gosh.
And each meeting spent most of his time on a debate on points of order and so forth between Sam Fuss on one side and Lou Borkin on the other side.
Oh my God. Fuss, I don't know, but I know Borkin. Louie just passed away.
And I remember quite well, not that I was such a young man, but a lot of the old ladies would come to me who were acting and say to me, gee, your minutes are so nice. I felt proud I'd recorded them. Now let's get back to the Jewish big Christian community.
Your tape's not out, is it?
I'm trying to
paint.
Oh. You're off, aren't you? Put off, nice way. When the YMNWCA, Christian Association, was conducting a campaign for the expansion of their facilities and ran on a capital fund drive, I returned to the office one afternoon, and there was a man there waiting for me who came to see me about our pledge. And having learned so much in the agencies in the Jewish community, I said to him, well, you've come to solicit our pledge. Can you tell me how much you're going to ask for? He said, well, I don't dare ask for an amount. I said, for those of us in fundraising, have always learned that you start off by suggesting to a person what he might give. I said, come on, let's sit down and talk this over, and we did. And when I announced our pledge to him, I think he became so shocked he couldn't almost walk out of the office by comparison to what's happening to some of the pledges he had gotten. I have been active in the Community Chest United Fund campaign for many, many years.
Uh-huh.
I've headed our own cleaners and launders division.
Uh-huh.
I had exposure to the Community Chest when we would present our budget from the Jewish Home and Hospital for Aged to the Budget Committee. Mm-hmm. Then I was asked to serve on the overall Community Board, and for the past 6 or 7 years I've been on the Governing Board of the Community Chest, which is now one United Fund. You know, they merged the two together.
Mm-hmm.
When they first started in this community, the Conference of Christians and Jews, because of my B'nai B'rith affiliation, this group came and asked if I would serve together with them in their activities and on their board, and I've served with that group ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Some years ago I was approached by the Duquesne University to see if I would serve on what they then called a Community Endowment Fund Committee. This group was later merged into the full board, and for the past 6 years I've been a member of the Duquesne University Board. When the Community College, Allegheny County Community College, was coming into being in the community. I was called by a friend in the community who was very close to, hold this a moment, I think of his name, Maloney, who had the privilege, who had the right to appoint certain nominees to the board. He asked me if I would serve. I told him I'd be very happy to. I was then selected as a member of the board of Allegheny Community College. And I've been able to be part and parcel of the formation of and the building of three campuses, serving over 25,000 students.
Are you still on the board?
Oh, yes. And some years ago, Albert Beatty, who's chairman of the board, Dr. Albert Beatty, former county superintendent of schools, asked if I would chair the personnel committee, and I've chaired the personnel committee ever since. I've had the opportunity of sitting in on negotiations with the negotiating team. We happen to be organized. And when in the city, I never miss a board meeting, as well as my committee meetings as often as they are called. Does that take care of the goyim? I remember the Hebrew Institute when we were kids in the Hill District. I say this often because we were kids in the Hill District. We never want to forget we were kids in the Hill District. They then had the Institute on Wiley Avenue. I remember quite well when they moved from Wiley Avenue to Forbes and Denison, and Dr. Israel Abrams of blessed memory will never be fully appreciated by this community for what he had done during all those years by handling what little limited finances they had, and was made it possible for the Hebrew Institute to continue to serve as the community's Jewish Hebrew educational institution.
What about the day schools, Henry? Do you
the day schools, I am my the Hillel Academy, my first exposure to the Hillel Academy was back in the early years when they opened up the Hillel Academy in the showroom of Dave Horowitz's auto dealership at the Marfield Apartments. I knew Dave, and I then met Adolf Schoenbrum, who asked me for a go out one afternoon and see what they were doing in a summer camp program. I went with him and became very much impressed for those who needed it in the community that there was a need for an all-day school. And off the record, I remember the battles we had in Federation through the years to try to get them to become an agency, but I shall never forget the evening when it finally came up after being turned down several times and the board was in session to vote on the admission of the Hillel Academy, and the first six speakers that got up were against including them in the Federation allocations. And then Jesse Cohn, who had just finished the campaign the previous year, got up without any pre-preparation by anyone, I can say without reservation, and was the first to speak on behalf of Hillel Academy. I had the opportunity of getting up myself, and I felt very proud to be able to tell them how I felt about it. And I'm very pleased that the community recognized the fact at that time, and we were able to vote them in on a scholarship arrangement, from which has come a scholarship subsidy to the Yeshiva HaTamimim, to the Talmudic Institute, and therefore each of our all-day schools are getting some consideration from Federation after all the years and off the record. I'm very happy to say that our community has recognized a need for all-day schools, and I am happy and thankful to the Almighty for having given me the opportunity to have served in the formulation of and be part and parcel of the continuation of this kind of education which the community now supports in this good and wonderful manner.
Continuing our interview with Herman Feinberg, interviewees Marsha Baskin and Betty Alpern on April 1st, Tuesday, 19...
Maybe you're through with the tape.
No, I'm not.
Yes, sir, okay. You going to bank?
Bye.
You going to bank? Pardon me? Ready?
Yeah.
Speaking of history of Israel's labor movement, in which there are the many of the founders of the State of Israel, I remember quite well that the Pittsburgh people who were interested in the early days of the history of this movement here in Pittsburgh was one Walter Burke, who was the founder of and owner of the Burke Auto Stores. He served the community in many, many capacities, The one that stands out most is his presidency at the Hebrew Institute, which is our community school. In fact, the auditorium at the Hebrew Institute is named in memory of Walter and Rena Burke, he and his wife. He and Charles Rosenblum called together a meeting one day to see if they could solicit some support from the Pittsburgh community for the State of Israel through the Histadrut activities and program. At that time, I remember the organization of a small committee, and the continuation of this effort has gone.
But it's good because they were a very important influence there.
And jurists. I mentioned Judge William Saccone in that it is interesting for us to remember that he is not a member of the Jewish faith, but is very much interested in the State of Israel and the total Jewish community. Histadrut itself was organized in Israel long before the state was created, for the pioneers of Israel recognized the fact that in addition to building the land, they had to have some sort of coverage for their people who were participating in the creation of the state. And they organized one of the most outstanding health and welfare programs, which is part of the Histadrut movement. And today I would safely say that better than 90% of the people in Israel are covered under the Histadrut health and welfare program. Also in recent years, Histadrut has entered into the field of recreation halls, meeting rooms in each of the kibbutzim as they are developed. And for this program, they come to each of the communities. And Pittsburgh, through the years, has taken on some of these programs in honor of and in memory of our former governor, David L. Lawrence, our former mayor, Joseph Barr, our former judge, who is now retired, Judge Samuel A. Weiss. And the recent and most recent building is the medical center named in honor of Judge William Saccone. Okay, got enough of that. What do you want next? Theological Seminary was founded many years ago, I believe, in New York City. It is the organization that has the responsibility for the training of the rabbinate and the cantorial, or the cantors for many, many conservative congregations. They also are responsible for the Eternal Light program, which has been one of the outstanding religious service programs heard on many radio stations for many years. In order to support their programs, each of the conservative congregations in our community every year conduct a special campaign to support the Jewish Theological Seminary. This campaign is conducted among their members as well as community members at large. What else do you
need?
At about the close of the World War number 2, 1944-45, many of the national organizations, Jewish service organizations, felt the necessity for bringing together a group so there could possibly be one voice to speak for the people, for the Jewish people. Henry Monsky was then president of B'nai B'rith, international president of B'nai B'rith. He arranged this conference in Pittsburgh at the William Penn Hotel, when 42 international and national organizations were brought together. People that I remember attending this conference were Rabbi Stephen Wise, Rabbi Hillel Silver, Rabbi Brickner, Rabbi James Heller, Louis Lipsky, the world Zionist leader, and our own Dr. Solomon V. Freehawk, as well as the leaders of the Jewish Labor Committee, I believe it was Adolf Held at that time, and the head of the Jewish War Veterans nationally, I think was Harry Schaefer of Pittsburgh. I remember this conference well because the opening night, one of the labor leaders delivered an address in Yiddish, and several of the people in the room, fortunately or unfortunately, did not speak or understand Yiddish, and asked at the close of the address whether or not there would be available.